Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christy Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hey, we're mother daughter. I'm the daughter, Julie, even though everybody says in us in real life, who's a mother, who's a daughter?
I know, you're so sweet, though, to think about that.
And I go, look at my hands. And I go, oh, yeah, I see you're the mother.
No.
These are the hands of a working woman. Yeah.
These are the hands of a woman who drives an 18-wheeler.
Exactly.
You've been to Wisconsin twice this week. This is unusual for you.
Northern Wisconsin. Yeah. It is. Well, and it's so weird because I'm a little distraught today, just overall. And if you don't know who we are, like I said, we're mother-daughter team, and we're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm working on my capstone right now.
What's your master's degree?
It's like a thesis. And my project is instructional design. Yeah, and my project is really dealing with motivation and stress and how it reflects
Your food intake.
Yeah, your food intake. And how do you combat that? How do you keep the motivation up when you're trying to get healthy and stay healthy? And how do you deal with stress?
And then you're dealing with stress all the time. And it's a toughie.
It is.
Because and if you conquer that girlfriend.
Yeah, it's literally the two parts of the component of anything that you do.
Right.
Is you have the stress that kind of like takes you off whatever plan you have going for you, right? And then you have motivation that you have a little success, the pressure's off, it wanes a little bit, and then you're like, oh, wait, what just happened here? Where did my motivation go? Yeah.
And she's talking about something that's as old as time, to quote Walt Disney.
For sure.
We're reading Jordan Peterson. If you don't know us, it's a year-long project.
Upset by all this? Go ahead.
And he's totally into the idea of chaos and order.
Yes.
And he talks about it like the yin-yang symbol, that within all of the order, there's a little black dot that's chaos. And then within all the chaos, there's a little black dot that's order. And that's how we see the stress and the motivation. Within all the stress, there's a little dot of motivation that can come through. And within all the motivation, there's a little dot of stress that takes you off track.
Exactly. Or that keeps you going as well. There's that, everything's that fine line that we walk, right? And that yin-yang symbol, it's that line that you have to walk in between. So I think in the Bible it says the journey is wide, but the path is small.
Path is narrow.
The path is very narrow.
Yeah.
You're like, ugh. So,
you know, Jordan was on Bill Maher.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I did.
You did see it? Oh.
We recorded it, so I saw it.
Oh, good, good. So what did you think, like, when Jordan comes on and he's just, you know, I can't help it, but I love him. I adore him. And somehow, for some reason, the younger people, you know, he pushes their buttons. And he was just talking about how we think of our children as so precious. They're just precious. Well, and they must be protected at any cost. And he was saying, you know, good, well, that's fine. We now have older parents that have a tendency to do that because they, in the old times, they didn't have like one or two kids. They had like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And you kind of had to loosen the reins a little bit. And he said, well, with the advent of the pill, you know, people have less children, and therefore they treat them like they're precious.
Exactly.
And they're helicopter parents, and they're protecting them. And he said, you know, that evolution would say, sure, you got to protect your kid, but rather it's more important to grow, rather than safe kids, to grow strong kids. And strong kids only get strong if the needle is sharpened and not so dull as to protect them all the time. I think I'm quoting him fairly. And of course, a woman on the panel's like, what? What? You're against the pill?
Yeah.
What, you motherfucker?
He's like, no, I'm not.
Not against the pill. I'm just saying, people.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his Canadian accent or whatever. But he rubs Americans the wrong way.
But
people like me and you, and Joe Rogan, and
Bill Maher,
we love him.
His following is like 80% male. And I have brought him up to a couple different people, my contemporaries and your contemporaries too, and they Google him initially. And they're like, this guy's horrible, whatever. And it's funny. First off, I have to say this. I don't like the fact that he's getting so damn popular.
Me neither. Did you just want him for yourself?
I did.
I do,
I
too.
I want to be this, like, oh, I just found this guy. Yeah. I just adore him. Yeah. And I don't want anybody else to know him.
I agree with you. Like, we're reading this book for the second time.
Yeah.
And
you kind of have to.
It's going to be, like I said, a year project.
Right.
It may be 2 years.
Right.
It may be my PhD. It may be my dissertation.
Yes. And for no other reason, I mean, he does a lot. It's a really good book. It's sourced out, it's referenced. I mean, it's
100%,
you know. Yeah. It's a really well done book.
Yeah. And so when Jordan and I go on tour, it'll be Dr. Peterson and Dr. Peters.
That's exactly right. But but okay, so here, I'm gonna just give my two cents to all this. Yeah.
I'm not sexually attracted to him, though.
Okay,
we're not gonna get it on.
But even though he's got a beard and you're letting your husband, you're like, normally I grow a beard for me. And I'm like, Dad's beard looks like Jordan Peterson's beard. Is that there's a reason for that?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Remember when Mitt Romney was running for president?
Yeah, you cut his hair like Mitt Romney. I don't know. I don't know. Or your freak flag flies then. I mean,
I don't know.
You know.
I think it's time for a new tattoo.
Exactly. Exactly. So I understand how, you know, you've got your freak flag going with Dad. And I used to think that you had a certain thing, like you like the cowboy look. I think you literally just say it's a cowboy look. But when the truth is, it is this conservative or thinker kind of thing. They are like a rogue person. Mitt Romney, I mean, the haircut, I think he just liked his hair.
Right. I just liked his hair, not his politics.
Now, and Jordan Peterson, I look at him, and he behaves like Normano, except for he's very cerebral.
Yeah.
It's not Dad.
Hell no.
But I saw him. He looked like a shell of a guy. Like, you know, yeah. He crosses his legs like
a girly girl.
No, you hate to.
Like a princess.
I don't want to judge. I'm not saying girls cross their legs like that. I don't want to say that. But you know what I mean. So not like, you know, he crosses his legs just like Dad does.
Mm-hmm.
And he hunches over a little bit, just like Dad does. Mm-hmm. And I'm like going, well, he looks a lot like Dad in energy. And I thought to myself, if Dad dressed himself for Bill Maher, there was a chance he may look like this in the sense of, you know, the guy came with a 3-piece suit on, meaning with a vest. And when he scrunched over, his vest looked bulky and his tie didn't fit right. And I'm like, you know, he doesn't come across...
He comes across Canadian.
Okay, yeah. It's like a little off. Like you go up there and go, oh, this reminds me of America.
Yeah, no.
But not
really. It's like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, if you were an alien and you landed in Canada.
Yeah.
But first you landed in America, and then you kind of picked up your UFO, and then you landed in Canada, and you thought you were still in America. And then you go, there's something off here.
Something's off here. And I love how Bill Maher, who brings him out initially, and he talks about free speech.
Yeah.
And so, because I think that's the thing, because what Bill Maher is about, he's always about free speech.
Right.
And how he feels like when he can't go to campuses anymore because the liberals just attack him.
Right.
Even though he's like, dude, I'm on your team, basically.
Yeah. What happened here?
And so he's against anybody who's against free speech.
Yeah.
Right, left, conservative, liberal.
100%.
And so, you know, he shows this one clip of Jordan being interviewed by this British reporter, BBC, I think. And I didn't understand the clip, what was so aggressive about the clip, but it went viral because it felt like the woman was being very aggressive towards him and like, how come you're so offensive? And he's saying freedom of speech is offensive. He goes, you can't not offend somebody if you're in an argument with somebody and you have deep beliefs and the person you're arguing have deep beliefs. And as you talk them out, you're going to be offended, right?
And you have both of you have the right
to be offended,
to have free speech, which equals the right to be offended.
And so it's almost like he's saying, stop the idea that we can't offend anybody.
Right. Offend anybody.
Because that means if we can't offend, we can't think. And if we can't think, we can't have our own beliefs.
Yeah.
And then we live in a sterile environment.
And we also
put the chip in my head and I will just be your consumer and nothing more.
Yeah.
And also, we can't
Go forward in the evolution of the concepts.
Right.
If none of us can talk because we're offended
right.
and we're disgusted by each other, we can't move the conversation forward
exactly
to actually come to some place.
Yes. And so you go, okay, I get that. And so that was, I understood that completely. And because I've read his books, and he doesn't come across as well as on the podcast.
Right. Because, can I say why? I mean, he doesn't come across, if you give him a 5-minute interview, he is such a deep thinker. And like, if he takes one concept, it'll take him in a book 10, 15, 20 pages
yes.
to set the concept up, give the history, and another 5 or 10 pages to explain the concept.
And another 4 pages to leave you feeling happy.
To let you go, this is how it plays out.
Yes.
You cannot get a simple one-word answer from him.
No. And there are times he's just silent, and that gets a little annoying because he mm-hmm. doesn't have his sound bites quick or
right.
whatever.
He's not polished.
And, you know, Bill Maher, God love him, you know. God love him and gotta love him.
Yeah.
But,
God loves him even though he doesn't believe in a God.
Exactly. He does not like kids. I mean, he knows that he wasn't meant to be on this planet to be a father. That's not his goal in life.
He does not like children at all.
No. And, out of all the chapters he focuses on this one, which is don't let your kids do something that makes you not like them.
Don't raise kids that you don't like.
Exactly.
Because if you don't like them, the world's not going to like them.
Right. And then you get that. You're like, okay, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we got to that chapter yet.
No, we haven't.
I think we've done every chapter but that one. I think we've done some twice. But we're like, I don't need to see this one.
We don't know what it's going to hold.
But I thought Bill Maher picking out that specific one was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they talked about raising kids a little bit and that. And the woman that was there, the younger woman, she just had a baby. And she did feel offended. Like, you know so much about me, and you've only met me for 20 years. He was like, I'm not talking about you
because he's a professor.
Yeah.
When you talk to, like, a room full of 100 students.
Yeah.
You have to talk in generalities. He was looking at her, and she was taking it as if he was saying this to her personally, and he wasn't. He was just talking like he was talking to a class.
Exactly.
You know, in generalization.
Yeah. I keep messing with your mic because you keep going close and you go far away.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You stay where you're at, girlfriend. That's my job, to make you
my
sound
good.
My
stomach's a little upset today, so I'm moving back and forth. Like,
oh, to make sure it calms itself down?
Yeah, I guess I could say that.
Well, I have, because I've, you know, I've been helping Dad out more with his gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all these side gigs. I'm helping him out. So I don't take my Lyme disease medicine when I drive, because it makes me a little tired.
Yeah.
And so I took it this morning, and it just immediately hits me in the face, the side effects.
Yeah, and that's the truth. It's in the face.
Yes. In the face. It hits me in the face.
Yeah.
And so it always ups my crabbiness, and, you know, and so I always have compassion for people when they say, oh, my medicine makes me feel like numb, checked out. Yeah. Like, I get that. You
like
know?
The side effects sometimes seem worse than the disease. Although I don't want you to go blind.
Yes, exactly. But then you're just like, really? Is that the case? Is that really going to happen?
But I can't wait until they say, oh, either it's, you know,
like it's been helping or it's not been helping.
Just because it's a horrible, horrible medication. And I don't know if your friend Jennifer is on the same medication, but she had seizures for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then she had brain surgery. And so she's on a medication that is similar. She feels like her feet are like burning. Isn't it what her side effect is?
Was. I don't know if it's still that. Yeah, exactly. She had neuropathy in her body, you know, which mostly in her feet and hand, mostly in her feet because of it. And but she had the surgery for her thing. I think she finally is off some of the medications.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So that just adds to my discomfort, because for whatever reason, when I'm off of it for a day or two, my body gets rid of it. And my hands get a little poofy, though. And then all of a sudden I take it again, and then immediately they come back with a vengeance. It's like, oh, you know.
Now you remember.
Yeah.
Remember,
well, you know, you're just like.
The very first time Julie took this medication, I don't even know the name of it, but it was a year ago. Well, not quite a year ago. And they said, you know, you could have some pretty harsh reactions to it. And she took it for the very first time, and it was on a Friday night, Friday evening.
I want to say one thing before you say that story. They didn't say I would experience harsh reactions to it.
They didn't?
No. They said, you may have a little tingling in your hands.
Really?
That's what they said to me.
Oh, a poor kid. So Dad and I were in bed, and the door opens to the bedroom, and she goes, I need to go to the emergency room right now. We have, okay. And you thought you were having a severe reaction to this medication. Yeah. And it was like, no, this is it.
This could be it.
This is how it works. Yeah. And you're like, this can't be it.
This can't be.
I feel like I have cobwebs on my face. My hands and feet are burning. My knees hurt.
Yeah. And see, already, I should have been taking it, I guess, the last 2 days because the side effects are intensified right now.
Are they?
And I'm just like, they drive me up the wall, you know? So your throat feels numb and your face feels numb and your hand, you know, and you hope that it works. But the truth is I still have my blind spots.
Yeah.
And so you're just going, and I know I'm supposed to, and it's so weird because I'm supposed to go to my, this is not about complaining Julie time because there's nothing funny about this. Except that you realize, you know, and thank God we have doctors and all this stuff and, you know, that, but that Lyme disease, you know, is
people think, you know, oh, Lyme disease, it's like from a deer or whatever, you know, it is from a deer, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a deer
from a tick. Deer tick. Yeah.
Yeah. But they, I don't think they.
What if I got bit by a deer? Now that would be, that would be a story. I would love that. How'd you get Lyme disease? Deer.
Deer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first a tick bit off the deer, something on the deer, then the deer, then it bit me, and then that's, I'm not sure if that's how it happened.
I don't know.
But it'd be hysterical. Yeah, we have a mad deer around the house, and he bit me. I got Lyme disease.
I know, but I you know, had heard about it, but,
yeah.
and you hear stories about it, but it kind of, to me, it always felt like fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of like a disease that you really don't understand.
Right.
But the reality is like it's harsh.
Right. Exactly.
It's really a harsh disease, and the celebrities, like I've Googled which celebrities have had Lyme disease or have and the ones that have had it, I'm still suffering from it.
Right.
And it really is true. You still have brain fog and, you know, who knows?
Yes, as my mom always makes sure it reminds me, you're not yourself anymore. I've been invading the body snatcher has come in, and so forth.
Well, it's so nice to have somebody new around, right?
In the truth, you've got a new buddy. There's pre Lyme and post Lyme.
That's right.
So, and getting back to Jordan. Because I do find him a little bit off take or put offish because I can see how his presence could be offensive sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not offensive. I don't want to use that word because I think I taint the word now. Because it's like, wait a minute, we should be able to say what we want to say without people, even if you get offended.
I agree.
It's like you can be offended. Yeah. You have a counter view.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we watched this comedy special last night, Natasha Legere and her husband, Moshe Kasher or whatever.
Yeah.
And Natasha came on first by herself. She's Priggers.
Yes.
But her comedy is, I mean, I loved it. But, you know, if you were one of those, like, thin-skinned, far-leaning, liberal left people, you would not have enjoyed it. You probably would have walked out.
Oh, exactly.
Because she talks about, she looks like she's about 7 or 8 months pregnant. Yeah. And she goes, yeah, this is, you guys, I'm pregnant for now. I don't know if I'm going to keep it or not. She says, we did think about adopting, but I figured if they didn't want their kid, you know, what's wrong with I mean, she was tough.
And she was hysterical. Rough. And I think, too, she did one thing in her show that I thought was fascinating. I think it kind of brings up the Me Too kind of idea. I think men don't realize how gross their behavior has been.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
In one of her scenes, or one of her comedy skits, go ahead and watch it. We're not giving anything away because we're not funny like she is.
It's called
The Honeymoon Comedy Special.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, she asked people in the audience how many are women, specifically, who has seen men
in public jack off.
Yes. You know, if pleasuring themselves in public, you know, and like just hands went up. Hands and hands. And then she goes around and asks me, so Katie, okay, Miss, where did it first happen to you?
Yes. I was in the library in the children's section. I saw a man holding up one of the golden, you know, children's books, and he was beaten up.
Where the red fern grows. Yeah. And for whatever reason, he thought that was a great turn.
I have to masturbate to this.
Yes, exactly.
Another woman, she was in Subway, she said, and then Natasha goes, the restaurant or the actual Subway? Oh, the restaurant.
And then somebody else said, a real Subway.
I got mine in a real Subway.
Yeah. And this one woman goes, yeah, this guy jumped out of me at a beach and just started wanking on himself.
He was in Australia.
So, at first, she goes like this. I thought it was so stupid. She goes, oh, so you've traveled out of the country.
Oh, you're that girl.
Yeah, you're that girl. We're so impressed.
You had to go to Australia to see a guy wanking. Can I tell you my experience?
Yes.
Yeah, I was at a bus stop as a child waiting to get on the bus to go to St. Louis. And a car said, are you going to St. Louis? I go, yeah. Well, I am too. Come on in. And of course, you know you're not supposed to take rides with strangers. Yeah. But I did. He just looked like a normal guy. And that's when I experienced someone wanking off.
Yes. And did he drop you off across the bridge or what?
He did not. He said, I cannot do this because if I go across state lines, I may be...
There's a more serious crime here. So he was not just a public.
He was a police officer. I don't know what he was.
He couldn't ask.
He was an attorney.
Yeah.
It was Michael Cohen. No, just kidding.
Well, it's funny because I think initially last night I asked you if you had experience and you said, I don't know. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wait a minute, that's right. And so, and you have like a spectrum.
I was like, when I got in the car, I go, I didn't say this to the guy, but I go, in my head, I'm like, what does somebody need a whole roll of toilet paper for in the front seat of your car?
And see, here's the thing.
Clue.
Okay.
Clue. Not to a Catholic girl, though. That's not a clue.
No, but here's what Natasha does.
She riffs on Catholics.
In her way, which I thought she was so smart.
She's great,
about it.
Yeah. She's from Rockford, Illinois.
No wonder I liked her so much.
No wonder. She's like got our sensibilities.
Exactly. Everything just comes across like, everything's
Please.
Ridiculous.
Yes. And that's what it looks like to Midwestern people.
Yeah, everybody's
New Yorkers look at Californians, you know. Texans.
Midwestern, they're ridiculous too. You know, we're all just so ridiculous. But anyway, there's like a spectrum though. You know, like yours is probably just shy of like, oh God, never be seen again. Just shy. And then, you know, like where mine happened, you know.
Where were you at?
I was just driving, and like I was up high, and a car came right next to me and made sure I noticed.
You're in a truck.
Yes.
And oh,
he was driving,
my gosh.
And I'm like, huh? And it always bugs me when cars hover too much close to me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, pass
Why?
Me or don't pass
right,
me. Don't
right.
just hover.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look around. I'm like, oh, he's jerking off. And I'm like, I get ya. I go, good job.
Blow your air horn.
I did. And I was just like, really? Really? And I love it how Natasha ends it, which is, oh, see, guys, you didn't realize you could do this in public, did you?
You know, men, I'd like you to raise a hand here. I'd like you to raise your hand. How many of you have seen a woman jacking off in public? There was like, no hands raised. Yes, we are the better sex. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. It's just exactly. And so, that was a good show last night.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of his and I fell asleep. Not because he wasn't funny, because he was funny.
Yeah.
And they've been on together.
On
Joe Rogan, not Joe Rogan. Oh, I think together on Joe Rogan, yes. And then also on Adam Carolla, and I've heard him on podcasts with those two. Mm-hmm. And he takes charge.
Oh, yeah, he's alpha.
You know, which is surprising.
Yeah. It is surprising.
You know, because Natasha is like this girl, woman, you know.
Yeah, but to him, she's like...
Yeah, she's like, I have no problem. Let him take, she left her Catholic faith to become a Jew, you know, for him and all that stuff. And
that was pretty amazing. And she goes, you know, rabbis, I think I decided that I could become a Jew because from what I understand, I've never met a rabbi that rapes boys.
Yeah. And the diva go like this. Do you want some food first? Are you hungry?
Would you like a little 7-Up with that?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the reason why I think this is why we don't understand people who get offended so much.
Yeah.
Because we like comedy so much.
We love comedy.
That we realize that when people are saying these things, yeah, it just really is ridiculous.
Well, it takes what's out there. And it just like
extremes light, it, makes a light on it, and going, yeah, it's not so damn painful.
I know.
Because if we thought about it, then we're like, oh, this is really weird.
If you thought about it, you wouldn't send any children to Catholic school.
Well, no. And also, too, hearing your story about getting picked up at the bus stop, I think would give every parent now a flag going, I will never let my children
ride the bus
by the bus by themselves or be anywhere by themselves, because at any given moment.
That's right. That's what she said. She goes, I will never let my children, they're going to, that my baby's going to be in an Uber.
Exactly.
He has to go anywhere.
And I will make sure that I will I will do a reference check on that Uber driver first.
And then I'll put him in.
And I'll make sure it matches it. And then maybe then he'll have a little independence. So, I mean, you go, I want to cut the parents slack, because they're like, hey, you hear these stories. You're like, well, how can I? How can I?
Yeah.
And I think for so many years.
I can't be a free range parent.
Right. And maybe, and I think, you know, previously we've heard parents, you know, we were listening to NPR and you were having me watching it different, listening to it differently at times. But, you know, this one woman said she was sexually harassed at work by her boss. And she was like 22 and she went to tell her parents. And the first thing her parents said was, well, of course you are. You know, of course this is going to happen. Yeah. Why are you so upset by this?
Yeah.
You got to get used to it and get over it.
Yeah.
You're like, what? What? And so I think we're at this turning point where people are saying, wait a minute, why do we have to get used to it? And if we had to get used to it, we should have been exposed to it a long time ago.
Yeah, why now, Mom? Why tell me now?
Yeah, why tell me now at 22? Yeah. This is my life. You know, I should have been like realizing this is my life earlier and gotten thick skin over it or something.
I mean, well, if they would have been in the 50s and 60s, and the women would have known they could only have been teachers, or stewardesses, or secretaries.
Yes.
You know, and to be a secretary was to marry well, and to be a stewardess was to marry a pilot.
Yes.
And to be a teacher was to stay a maiden.
Yes. Or you'd be a nurse, maybe marry a doctor.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, you just don't know. It's kind of interesting out there. The world's kind of crazy.
Kind of cray-cray.
So right I was listening to a story about, because I was driving to Michigan a lot this week, my life has been about podcasts.
Not Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Wisconsin. Michigan's in the past, man. Not where it's at anymore. And and first thing I want to say, I've discovered and this. If the world comes to the end, you know, and we will quickly break through to the hub where all these trailers go that are filled with, you know, like, you know, like where they have the railroad and they have those containers.
Oh, yeah, still. Yeah.
And we're going to break into them and we're going to like see what's in there, because all I've delivered this week was, you know, I've delivered literally 50,000 pounds of beer to people.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
you're going end times.
We're going end times. We're going, we're like, this is awesome. I'm going to go out. I'm going out happy, you know, lacrosse beer going to Washington.
Yeah. So you've delivered beer. That's awesome.
And did you know that you can't deliver beer if you're under 21?
You can't?
No, you cannot.
Luckily, you can deliver
luckily
beer.
I can easily, no way, deliver beer. So my life has been about my schoolwork this week.
Yeah.
Working and everything. And you're just like,
You've been a little, it's been a little cray cray for you.
It has. And so, but I listened to Louis Anderson. And he came from a family of, he has 10, including him, there's 11 of them.
Whoa.
And his mom, you know, they lived in the quote-unquote projects in Cleveland or I don't know where. I think a Midwestern town, though. Mm-hmm. And he has this sweet story about how, or like, he loved his mom so much because she really buffered their lives because their dad was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed.
Which is sometimes kind of worse.
And not only that, she had 5 stillbirths. I mean, like, so she was pregnant for 16 times.
Wow.
She was pregnant.
Wow.
I mean, that was just her life, you know?
Yeah.
And he was the youngest, you know? And so, I mean, can you just imagine? It's like, you know, here she is. I mean, she's still having lots of sex with this guy.
Yeah. Well, and like, we don't even know if it's consensual.
Well, I'm sure.
I'm sure he didn't ask first and make her sign like
waiver. Like,
yes.
Hey,
did you say yes to this?
Exactly. Yeah. Who knows how it all worked out back then?
Didn't we see something this week though? Was in a television show or something, and they're getting ready to kiss, and before he, it's a real romantic moment, and right before they're getting ready to kiss, he said, "May I kiss you?" or something.
Yeah.
They both look like. Consent.
Consent.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And you're like, oh, that's good. People are doing that. Because back in my day, they'd be like, you gotta ask. It takes you out of the mood.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh my God, if you have to ask, what was that? What we heard, like, you know how you can let a girl like say, if you want to take her.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't complain. You know what you got to do if you're a man?
Mm-mm.
Just be hot.
Oh.
That's the joke.
That's the joke?
That's the joke.
Okay, I think you got to set up a little bit.
Right?
I don't know if you said it right. I was waiting for her. I'm like, oh.
You know where you were knowing where I was going with that?
I think you're wanting to say this. Do you know how, because men right now are going, here's a joke, here's a setup. Men are so afraid to do anything or say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to help the men out there. Like, I want to help them, like, hey, do you know, if you don't want to be known as, like, a predator, like, go on the Me Too list, because you guys are also afraid.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now how to stop it. Just be really hot. Because if you're really hot and got some money, like, you know, you touch his boob. And here's another one. You touch that, too, because.
The hot guy touched me.
Yeah.
He touched my boob.
The hot guy really touched me. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh my God, he just touched me. Ah!
And not you.
Yeah.
Not me too. No.
He didn't touch me too. I feel so bad. We'll have another one. Hot guys don't touch me too.
And then there's that case of that super gonorrhea that's going around.
What's that? What's super gonorrhea?
Well, no, the idea is that super gonorrhea. Well, I told you that I chose the soup.
Oh, not the gonorrhea. I think it goes like this. I think it goes like this. Because I already got hit with this joke once. I was like, by your father, by your husband. And I go, this can't be the joke. He goes, well, let's say it a different way. I go, do you want super gonorrhea?
Hell no.
I go, oh, like, no. No, okay.
I'll say, do you want super gonorrhea?
I like the soup, please.
It's so funny because, you know, like they're actually like closing like Toys R Us.
Yes.
Things like that. And because of
Thank God, because it was just a breeding ground for that super gonorrhea.
We had heard so many stories of like men that want to dress as babies that go into Toys R Us and hang around the little like furry animal section.
Oh, geez.
And they couldn't stop them. It's a free country, right?
Yeah.
And so thank God they're closing. And then I always heard like this week, 8,000 Starbucks are closing.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, just for a day or for an afternoon or something like that. But it's amazing how sometimes products or stores, they just come and go.
Right.
You know, like, and you probably don't remember this, but when you were a kid, maybe you do remember, there was a shampoo that was called Gee, Your Hair Smells Terrific.
Yes.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and that no longer, that company went out of business because they had a second product that it was a douche. And it was Gee, Your Coochie Smells Terrific.
Gee, Your Blank Smells Terrific.
Yeah, nobody. Did I do that one right?
Sure, that was funny. that brings to another funny thing on an old episode of Hope, Raising Hope. They were showing the husband has rich parents, and they lost all their money in Madoff, took all of their money.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to come live with them and see how it is to live poor.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, the wife is making homemade salad dressing with vinegar and oil, you know, and she's like, oh no, I don't have to make my own douche, you know, I don't need that. And he goes, no, I'm not making a douche. What's a douche? I'm making salad dressing. Like, oh. And then she goes, I don't want my salad tastes like the douche.
Is that what the rich mom said? That's so funny.
Oh, that's fine too. I don't know if it was going to get on the podcast here. I don't know. Really, what this podcast
Gee, your woohoo smells like vinegar.
Or just, it smells like Italian dressing.
It smells like Italian dressing. I think I'll have a salad, please.
Is that where they got that from?
Yeah. No romaine.
No not romaine.
Now.
Well, it was funny because I went out last night and they were talking. I wanted a salad, but you can't get a salad anywhere.
No.
No. Because the romaine.
Yep. The what? After E. coli. Everything goes away, we have to see what remains.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear that one or did you make that one up?
I did not hear that, but I made that up, girlfriend.
That was pretty impressive. That was good.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty impressive. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
I was reading Jordan, you know, by myself. And and I, because we're doing the second time around, so we've got all our notes in the book already.
Right.
And I come to the end of this one paragraph, and you wrote, "Mom said, bravo."
Yes, yes. So I'm thinking bravo. I can't resell this book on Amazon.
No, I wish I could.
Probably goes, who wrote these notes? Mom said, bravo.
Mom said, bravo.
Bravo.
Bravo, bravo Jordan.
Jordan Peterson. Bravo. And usually you say those things when you've had an aha moment, mm-hmm. or he says something that you've always known,
yeah.
but he says it in a way that's so more succinct,
yes.
you know, and so forth.
Or more beautiful.
So, you know, I had an experience when I went to
Culver's?
The gym this week.
Oh, okay.
Physical therapy and gym. Mm-hmm. And like this one guy came up to me.
Oh, my God. You've got to tell the story. I told Dad this story.
Yeah.
He was so impressed. He didn't know what
I'm
to gonna do.
I'm going to go hold on and get my message from him.
Do you know where it's at? Because I took it out of the purse. Oh, good. This is an awesome story. And I literally have been deciphering it for the last few days, Julie. I've been deciding trying to get what it means. It's Holy Spirit, for sure.
Well, so anyway...
how do we start out by saying
it was the first day? It was like on
first day of spring.
Well, it felt like the weather had changed.
Yes,
and so people usually don't talk a lot at the gym. Mm-hmm. You go, you just get there, you do your stuff. Everybody's got lists to do.
Right.
Like literally, everybody's got a list of everything they come with.
Yeah.
So everybody,
and there's all sorts of, you know, people who do physical therapy there.
Yeah, and it's so funny because back in my day, everybody just kind of. Like worked out, but now everybody has it's working out with a specific goal in mind, working out while tracking everything, and people have printouts of what they're supposed to be doing, and you're just like, when did this happen? But everything is so, you've got your list of all the things you've got to accomplish, and like you gotta get this stuff done, and I got this stuff, and you're like, what? But everybody was really chatty. And that never happens because everybody's got headphones on. So, you know, everybody's
in their own bubble,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but I did notice that you had, you usually put makeup on, but today you focus on your eyes a little bit more and you had mm-hmm. a little bit more of a rosy lip. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, you look so pretty today, mm-hmm. which typically means mom's gonna get hit on at the gym. Which is so true. And so this was a day that literally I should put money down. I said, oh, mom's wearing different makeup. I should put down $30 that people are going to talk to us today because, you know, that's what happens. And so
that old guy said, do you like onions?
Yeah. Like, so I grow onions. I've got some still from last year. Like, great. Year old onions.
Wait.
That's what I want. I go, oh, you must have a cellar. Well, I keep it in the basement, mm-hmm. you know, cellar. I go, that's what grandma used to call it, the cellar.
The cellar.
He had all the apples down there and, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. But anyway, so we almost said, I know, 6 or 7 people talk to us, which mm-hmm. is just unusual. Mm-hmm. And then this one guy who, he reminds me like probably early 50s, maybe late 40s. I don't know. I got close to him.
Yeah.
I thought he could be younger, but
I think so too.
I don't know. But he comes in and he looks like an MMA 40s. Guy because he
MMA.
Always wears a cap. He's wearing sweat. So you feel like he has to make weight for his wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know who he's wrestling, but he's always like amped up.
Yeah.
Totally amped up.
Yeah.
And so previously he said hi to us once in a while as we, you know, or whatever.
He came over to me one time and said, I think I know you from somewhere.
Oh, and cool. And so then he, that day on Friday or Thursday, mm-hmm. he started talking poetry to me. Mm-hmm. Or not poetry, that's the wrong word, but like positive affirmations, mm-hmm. words of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I go, you should write these down. And I didn't, and he goes, you want me to write them down for you? I go, well, I did not say that, but I go, sure, yeah, for yourself. He goes, they don't forget him. Well, I don't forget him. And but so then he immediately goes to find paper and a pen and writes these down for
me. He goes to the front desk.
Yes.
And gets scratch paper.
Yes. And I thought that was sweet.
Sweet. Yeah.
And so I'm going to read them to you because they're nice. You know.
So then he came over back to us.
Yes.
And he said, I want you to have these.
Yes. I go, thank you. And I go, well, what's your name, sir? You know.
Oh, do we tell this now, the part?
Oh, no. I will wait.
Okay.
Okay. First one was, do not.
No, no, that was the second one.
Okay.
That's the first
one. This is the first one. So here's the first one. It's a little less, just like positive affirmation. He who laughs last, laughs loudest. But he who works the hardest should be the proudest, but is most modest.
But is most modest. Yeah.
Good, yeah.
I think it's good so far.
Good, yeah. As this glow shines, your path, no matter where you are at, your nights, but he spells it K-N-I-G-H-T-S,
which is...
That's
pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Your nights will be finer. Like your nights, who
yes,
knows?
Yes.
Your days will be brighter.
Yeah.
And your might will be mightier. Well, so now I think the word
now
nights
you get it, right?
Might have been like intentional.
Yeah, see, I studied that.
Yeah.
I studied that the
you're
whole
like,
night.
You're like,
I
was going, like freaking what does he out? Mean by that?
Yeah. And you're wondering, like, why would I study this? I will tell you later.
Yes.
So then he goes. Then he goes on a different piece of paper and he says to us,
do not forsake the very thing that loves you most. It is good to depend on a
friend
but by no way is it a means to an end.
I know.
Universal God, life insurance. Well, life, I-N-S.
Yeah.
Which can mean.
No insurance. Yeah. Life
Supreme
insurance.
Intel Agency. So I did not.
So that was it. That's how he signed it off.
Yeah.
So he didn't tell us his name, and Julie said, "Hi, just by the way, I'm Julie, and this is my mom, Chris. What's your name?" And he says,
"I go. Well, I'm not gonna tell you my name.
I can't tell you for a while now.
I go. You won't know me for a while.
You won't know me for a while.
But my initials are.
But you know. He goes. But you can call me JC.
Yes, you can call me JC.
Yeah. You won't know who I am for a while.
Right.
But right for now, you can call me JC.
Now,
and then he disappeared.
I love it how the universal
totally
God life insurance.
Yeah.
Because in my bucket list this year, I have on there get some life insurance.
So, and I love the line when he goes, Do not forsake
the very thing that loves you most.
Time out. Do not forsake the very thing that loves you the most. And I think that was him.
Yes.
That was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He's saying that to us.
Yeah.
To me,
it is good to depend on a friend,
yeah.
But by no way is a means to an end.
And what is the end?
Universal God Life Insurance.
That's right.
Supreme Intel Agency.
Yeah, the Supreme Intel Agency.
Yeah, exactly.
So rather than Julie and I laughing, or me as a psychotherapist diagnosing him as borderline schizophrenic,
yeah.
Or as we call it maybe bipolar and stuck mostly in the
mania stage.
Yeah, we did not do that.
we did do it, but it didn't mean anything. We weren't truly diagnosing this guy.
No.
We were just like, and I go, you know what?
We do not find him in the DSM-5.
Yeah.
We
per
find,
se. His name was not written in that book of
no,
life.
it was JC
yeah.
to us. And I'm still deciphering what he said to us.
Well, yeah, and I also feel this way. Like, I don't know anybody's journey, you know?
No.
But I go, well, this is just interesting. He didn't write anything totally weird.
No, honestly, I'm taking it as like...
Just something nice.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Somebody,
right.
Somebody, like, and I thought it was so great. He, you know, he had these poems and you went, you know, sir, that's so good. You should write them down. You want me to write them down? Well, you should write them down.
Yeah.
You don't want to forget it. And he runs back to the thing. And
go.
I wrote these down and for you. Oh,
yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Julie. It's my mom, Chris.
And you are?
You can't, I can't
you
tell
you
for a while.
You will not know me for a while.
Not John for a while.
Yeah.
But you, my friend, can call me JC.
Like, okay.
Okay.
I'm like.
Wasn't that in the Terminator? Wasn't that the truck at the very end called JC?
I don't know.
I remember that. Like the truck. There was like a big tanker truck at the very end of Terminator.
Sure. I don't know. I don't remember that part.
JC. JC Trucking.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I bet it is. I'll put money on it.
You do that.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The part that I'm like sitting with is the depend. Read that first part again. Do not forsake the very thing
that loves you most.
Yes.
It is good to depend on a friend.
Yeah. Do not forsake the very thing that loves you the most.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was at.
You were forsaking God?
I was getting, well, because I, you know, because like everybody that we kind of know doesn't believe.
And well, I think like, people are struggling. Yeah.
Because they're struggling because they can't understand how there is a God and how there is a, you know, a Rwanda where people are chopping, you know, where like babies are raped
and
people are, you know, I mean, and just even in this world,
yeah,
the hardness of everything, you know, you can't, you know, and Jordan would talk about that saying it's a hellacious world.
Well, yeah.
And how do you find a God in that?
Well, I always think too, because we listen to a wide variety of people. We're not, I am in no way a person that just I only go to the band I want to listen to. I want to listen to it all so that I can go, well, that's an interesting opinion. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I can see where this funnels into gets woven into the big quilt of life. You mm-hmm. know, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And so it always surprises me when people take such a hard, like, no, it is this way 100%.
Yeah. Like dad was in the dentist this week and he was in there on the chair for 4.5 hours, but he had to like wait for an hour. And during the time that he was waiting, a guy walked in, like maybe 50.
Yeah.
And the CNN is on. And they give us, you know, Comey's on advertising. He's going to be on Jake Tapp or whatever. And the guy goes, they should shoot that guy.
Yeah.
They should, out loud, in the dental office, they should shoot that guy. Yeah. And then they had another promo for Al Sharpton's show on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And he goes, that guy only wants to shoot white people.
Like, dude.
Yeah. And I said to Norm, I go, it's really strange to be older, you know, like to see an older person and go like, that's your bottom line.
And I would have gone this, like, oh, you voted for Hillary, didn't you?
Yeah.
I would have said to him, he goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, because you must think Comey took the election from Hillary, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking? He goes, no, I voted for Trump. And I think he's just wanting Trump. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I thought Comey gave Trump the election. I thought you'd like love him. Yeah.
But you're a Russian lover too, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get you. Now I'm confused by you. Are you play for both sides of the team field?
We literally now we know we live in a post-truth era.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing really matters.
Well, this is why we like comedy so much because everything's absurd.
Comedy is...
Because
real.
When a guy can come in and just for at a dental office. Well, it was funny because when I went to check in on Norm, my dad,
because
I'm like, what the hell's going on?
How can a man be in a dental office for 6 hours?
Yes, and I go in.
As he says, I'd rather be here than in Mexico.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't have CNN on. Or MSNBC, where they had Bones on, which was just as offensive to me because it's like it's lunch hour, and I'm like,
we used to always comment on that.
Yes,
like you'd have to see the corpse with the bugs and everything during lunch hour.
Like what in the world? And so, but there were no kids around, and it's just the secretary at that moment. You're like, okay, whatever, you know. So everything's absurd. Everything just comes across absurd. I was going to say something, but now I forgot.
But you went into the dental office to check on Normano.
And they said the dentist is really proud of his work, so he's just he's very meticulous in what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he wants everything to match correctly. And dad does it good.
Yeah.
And you know what he looks like? Your biggest fear,
I was praying so hard.
He would come out looking like he had horse teeth. Like just like fear. Big old teeth and all pearly white and big and now they just look, they look like he just has normal teeth.
Yeah.
Like you don't notice his teeth.
Right.
Like I don't notice teeth.
Yeah.
Which is good.
That was good.
Before because he had that little cracked tooth in the front.
He had a little snaggle tooth.
Yeah.
And then he had the missing teeth.
Yeah. You're just like, dude, something's going on.
Yeah.
Something's going down.
Well, he had a diagnosis.
Yeah.
BTS, brittle tooth syndrome.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Is that what his diagnosis was? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How does a man grow up and have brittle teeth? I don't know.
I don't know either. So, but anyway, so I was talking about how we partake in all different media experiences.
Right.
And then you get a real bigger idea. And I remember, I went and paid the water bill recently. Mm-hmm. And the woman there, who always complains about? She likes.
Oh my God.
She just has. She likes.
She has
to complain.
The best job on the planet. She lives in our complex.
Yes,
because we have to pay water in our complex, and so she takes her basement, which is like all decked out.
Yeah,
and she stays there for 8 hours a day in her basement 4 days a week.
Yes,
and takes the water bill.
Yes,
and she complains.
Well, she complains about other people not going to work and not having jobs and all this stuff, yeah. And like they need to take their. I'm like. Yeah. Dude, we're paying your job, and I would take your job in a heartbeat.
I know. You sit there in your ass.
But she's nice, and she wants to talk about insurance problems with me all the time.
All the time.
And I go, and I'm always like, yeah, I go, I think it's because people aren't paying their share. That's why it's so expensive.
She's obsessed with
insurance. I go, you're right. We should have universal care. And we should have all pay into one system. We should all pay.
Yeah, single. We should have a single payer.
I don't know if we should have single payer or not. I think we all should contribute. I go, yeah.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
No. Oh, no.
No, no. It's not the right. No. I'm like, yeah. It just may be taxed differently. You wouldn't write a monthly bill out. Maybe you'd have like an increase of 1% on your tax, on your everything you buy. You know, you buy more stuff, you get paid more, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we had this long discussion of why medical costs are so high here. And I go, I really don't know why. I go, yeah, I know why. I've heard studies done. I said, you know, we pay on average per person $9,000 a year for medical care. And other industrialized nations pay around $5,000-$6,000. That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And we don't live as long. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, you know why, right? I go, no, why do you think? Because people aren't paying their share. I go, well, I don't know. I think that doesn't have anything to do with
it. It's always the bottom line. And she hears that from her husband.
I think. And then she goes on saying, and, you know, we've got, my husband works for this place and, you know, he like to retire early, but they can't retire because he can't get on Medicare yet. And because the insurance would be too expensive for us. And I go, yeah, so I agree. I think we should lower Medicare to like 55 because mm-hmm. that's when the insurance companies really want to start, you know,
gouging you. Yeah.
You know, and we get, you know, and she's like, well, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I don't know if we should do that. It's like. And then I realized that she has a problem.
She has a problem because she's not well thought out.
But she has a problem, and she doesn't. And the only thing that she feels will solve this problem is that people aren't paying their share.
Get those lazy people off the couch.
Yes, they're not paying their share.
People off the sofa in their parents' basements.
And I wanted to say, well, Trump did take that away from people. People were paying their share. Yeah. They were paying. No one could get away without paying something.
Yeah.
If you pay taxes, you've got to pay $2,000. Minimum, mm-hmm. or having health insurance, mm-hmm. but now that's not part of the deal anymore.
No.
So
that's what I. That's what gets me. That's my bottom line, is like, okay, so you're 55 years old,
yeah,
and that's your bottom line. You decided that's it.
Right.
I like that point of view, and I'm not going to take any more information in.
No,
don't tell me anything more. I don't want to know anything about that. That's the part that scares me.
Yeah, because I want to say, well, here's some things that we have to address. The fact that the baby boomers are just starting to get into that age where they're requiring, you know, real attention. Mm-hmm. Real attention. Mm-hmm. You know, not just minor attention. Well, no, I mean, I thought baby boomers were like...
We're talking about real attention people. I'm not talking about just like, no.
In and out, no big deal.
No.
You know.
Like super.
Well, last night, there was another comedy special on, Seth Rogen special. It was all for hilarity charity. Charity for hilarity stuff, or I don't know. But it was for Alzheimer's.
Right.
And you go, oh my gosh, this does not look good for our country. You know. Yeah. Just the fact that we have all these baby boomers just now approaching the age of potentiality,
yeah,
and that requires 24-hour care.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to address, how do we address that issue?
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of issues that need addressing. And if we don't allow ourselves some freedom to like think outside the liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican viewpoint, because none of them have figured it out.
No.
And the reason why they haven't figured it out is because they're afraid to offend their constituents.
Oh, yeah.
And so they can't say one thing that might give a little bit of hope. And so the consequence will be, you know, I don't know what the consequence will be.
Well, I was telling you several weeks ago how I adored Helen and Scott Nearing. I studied them for years in the 70s.
Yeah.
They were this couple. He was a professor. I think she might have been a professor as well. But they lived a sustainable lifestyle on 5 acres.
Yeah.
And I got every book they ever wrote. I wanted to live like them, but never could. Normano would not like.
Yeah.
Must drive truck, you know.
Right.
But he turned 100, and he said, you know, this is good enough. And they built a stone house for themselves out of the stones in their field.
Yeah.
They built a little stone, like a kind of small cottage where they wrote their books and stuff. And he took to the back house and just said, just let me alone here. Don't feed me. Don't give me water. It's just time.
Right.
You know? And I always thought that that was
admirable.
I thought it was admirable. I thought it was dignified.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, in some ways, like Barbara Bush. I mean, she went to the hospital, and at some point she said, I'm done with doctors.
Yeah. No more poking, no more prodding.
Keep me in comfort.
That was the word she used.
And let me go. I don't want to have... And at some point you're allowed to say...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
Right.
You know, it's so true.
But again, these are tough choices because I've talked to Norm about this.
Yeah.
And he feels like if I'm even just like a torso or if I'm a head, just wheel me in front of the television, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
He does not want to go like that.
He's
just like, if I'm alive.
I'm alive.
I'm alive. If the heart's still doing it, just let it be.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
Yeah.
For, you know. And then I said, well, do you want to be, you know, you hate to have these conversations. It's difficult.
Right.
Do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? He goes, oh, I want to come with you wherever you guys go.
Yeah.
So cremate me.
So cremate me. Good, because I'm not bringing your bones with me. That's going to be, I mean, it's not like year-long playhouse at, you know, with Weekend at Bernie's. You know, I'm not doing that crap, all right? Okay. If you want to come with us wherever we go, we're cremating you. I was just thinking of Dave Ramsey. And you know how we talk about, sometimes people talk about the rich aren't paying their fair share of taxes.
Right.
And the rich are going, we're paying more than our fair share of taxes. Here's a weird example, really quick. This guy called up. We're at the end of our show, really. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tell a quick story.
Sure.
Guy calls up. Talking to Dave Ramsey, goes, I don't know if you should do a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. Roth IRA, you pay taxes now, but you don't pay taxes when you retire on the money that you've earned. And or should I not pay taxes now and then pay taxes with my profit that I get? And he goes, well, how old are you? He goes, I'm 25 and I make, or I'm 30 and I make $108,000 a year. He goes, well, I recommend putting 20% away. Mm-hmm. And he goes, if you do this and you make 12% interest, which I think is a little high.
Yeah.
But let's just say you made 12%.
Yeah.
He goes, you'll have $22 million when you retire. Mm-hmm. And let's say I'm wrong and you only have $10 million. Do you want to pay a taxes on $1 million? Because you'll have put $1 million into your account. Or do you want to pay taxes on the $10 million or $22 million that you would have earned? And he goes, well, I would rather pay taxes on the $1 million. He goes, exactly. So pay taxes now on it. And then when you retire, it's all yours tax-free. And I thought to myself, see, now is that fair? So when people aren't paying their fair share, mm-hmm. that guy he's going to have people who know the story,
right.
Who know the system,
right,
and are maybe sitting on a stockpile of $22 million. It may not be as easy as that,
mm-hmm.
but I remember when back in the day when I was figuring this stuff out, I think I didn't choose a Roth. I think I just turned to the basic or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or, like I'm laughing inside. But what I'm saying is there, this financial web we have as our country mm-hmm. is so diverse and so big. Mm-hmm. To think that it can be fixed with just a, with just like people wanting to get off the couch and get back to work and make $10 an hour, yeah. so they can get insurance,
right?
You know,
right.
That could be really crappy. So that if you do get Lyme disease, you could have it taken care of. But you're, but guess what? You'll still have a bill for about $5,000. You know, so life is just not as easy as that.
And that's why you need comedy, girlfriend.
Exactly. So I want to say thank you for listening to our show today, Life with the Girlfriends. Oh, was it great?
Oh, it was great.